At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tyler, why don't you get your butt out there sometime and sweat like they do?
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, it is. Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills on the ones and twos behind the glass, and we're rocking and rolling. The new league year in the NFL it's upon us, y'all. 3 o'clock hit. 3 o'clock Central hit, and it was time now. And in other words, any team that wanted to cut any veteran player that was under contract needed to do so at 3 o'clock to avoid having to pay some of the new league year monies that may or may not have been on a contract. They got those guys out of there, so the market was flooded with some high end players, as well as that 3 o'clock at 3 o'clock marked the ability for teams now to officially sign the free agents that we've been reporting. So the Texans should be, I don't know what their timeline is, but at this point in time, they can ink all of the deals that they've made in free agency. And today, just keeping everybody up on what the Texans have done. Today, the Texans have done nothing. Today, the Texans have not made any moves that I know of, that I'm aware of, and damn sure nothing. Right, damn sure nothing of note. We're looking at the Texans. There's still a big time need for interior offensive linemen. I would say there's a pretty significant need for wide receivers, and I've added running back to the list. I think there's some moves that need to be made there at the running back position as well. The defense is pretty set. I think on the Texans front, I think the most significant move that's been made today is something that we just heard of. We broke the news. Hell, we may have broken the last segment. Veteran offensive guard Kevin Zeitler, who I was hoping the Texans were definitely going after, he goes to the Tennessee Titans. 1 year, $9 million, and he cited the opportunity to work with Bill Callahan, the O-line guru that is there in Houston, and some family, apparently has some family in the area. So Kevin Zeitler's off the list. There are a couple of veteran guards, a veteran center, and I use that veteran term loosely because it's not like there's guys out there that have done a ton in the NFL. They got a few years in. There are some older cats out there that aren't as highly ranked on the interior offensive line availability list, but I guess for me, I'm at a point where I was real excited about that Laremy Tunsil move. I was real excited about the Shaq Mason cut. I was real excited about moving on from Kenyon Green. But the voids that are left have to be filled with some level of experience, some level of been there, done that. We know what we're getting. every decision maker with the Texans has discussed fixing this this protection, protecting C.J. Stroud, fixing the O-line from the inside out, and this is a far cry from that. And more time passes, the more interior offensive linemen that are available fly off the list. And so, look, I'm 1B Scott where I just got to believe that Nick Casario is over there willing and dealing in terms of a trade to potentially upgrade guard, center, or guard, maybe two of the three before the draft. I got to believe that. But Kevin Zeitler, off the market, he goes to not only does he not come to Houston, but he goes to the Tennessee Titans. Looks like they've got their offensive line shored up with a couple of big-time signs this offseason. Kevin Zeitler, not the guy that's going to be in Houston, but there are a couple left.
Yeah, you know, I don't sense any panic here in this studio from yourself or me necessarily.
I think
it's more just disappointment because he was at the top of the list. We talked about that to start the show, and there are still some other options out there. So it's not the end of the world. We don't have to panic about it, but I think we can be reasonably disappointed that somebody of this caliber was available. And then he ends up going, I think the biggest disappointment about it is not only do you not get him, but he goes to a division rival and he goes for a price that it feels like should have been well within something that you would be able to do yourself. So that part of it is disappointing. But one thing I want to do, Clint, and this might just be a homework assignment for myself because I'll be back with you tomorrow, but I want to start thinking about as we start watching these guys get off the board, right? As we start watching the players that we want to be on this team or think they should be interested in go to other teams, I got to start thinking about, you tell me what you think about it, like couching it this way. Who is the offensive guard version of Joe Mixon this year? Whereas, like, you got your – remember last year where we had our running back wish list and you had folks that wanted Saquon Barkley. You had folks that wanted Derrick Henry. You had folks that thought Josh Jacobs was a good idea. Like, you had your wish list of guys who were obvious free agent targets at that position. But, you know, we didn't really think about, what if they trade for Joe Mixon for next to nothing? And we're like, oh, yeah, you know what? I can get down with that. And I think last year we knew that Joe Mixon was kind of in that scenario, in that situation where he's either going to be cut or they have to make a business decision with Joe Mixon. I don't necessarily know who that is per se at guard. Joe Tooney was a good example of somebody that was traded away. And we didn't really know that Joe Tooney was available until he was. So, like, I'm going to get at some thought a little bit more tonight. Maybe we can talk about it tomorrow. But, like, the more the wish list shrinks, the more we're going to have to get a little bit creative in terms of who we think might be available and what type of thing they might be able to finesse. Who is the guard or interior lineman version of Joe Mixon this year for the Texans? You might have to start, you know, looking into that market.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I think when you mentioned a guy earlier, the cat out of Jacksonville, that got into it with Azeez Al-Shaair. Yep. I mean, that's a second tier available guy that's long in the tooth. Probably hasn't played up to expectations, but got some dog in him, and would definitely be an upgrade here.
Yeah, so, better than what you got.
You know, something like that, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see who they land. We'll see what moves they make. There's no way in hell that Nick Casario and D'Amico Ryans, that this is what they meant when they said fixing the O-line from the inside out. There's got to be moves and multiple moves made sooner rather than later. But as I mentioned, boy, they're flying off the shelf. We'll see what that is.
Guys, 6:10 to talk about on the radio.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, one, as I said, that new league year coming, that marked the time when teams were holding on to veterans that had some value, hoping that somebody would ship a seventh-round draft pick to them the same way we got Joe Mixon, the way we got Stephon Diggs. Who did they say we got earlier this year? Who did we get like that? Christian Kirk with a seventh-round pick, trying to keep him from hitting the open market, right? It came and went, and Cooper Kupp is a guy that's been injured a lot of late, but boy, back in 2021 when he was healthy, he had an unbelievable year. And what's significant about the Cooper Kupp getting released and officially getting released, I think they saw it coming from a mile away, but Cooper Kupp getting released at this point in time is that there's at least dots that you can connect to Houston, right? When you look at the terminology, the system is going to be the same as what was in L.A. When you look at Nick Caley, the new offensive coordinator here in Houston, he's clearly came out of the Rams system over the last couple of years, so he's very familiar with what Cooper Kupp has left in the tank? What kind of tread does he have left on the tire? What kind of player is he in 2025, not in 2021? And I don't know. That may be a hard pass immediately from Nick Caley, but it also may be beating down the door to DeMeco Ryans and Nick Caserio and saying, hey, this is the key to our offense. This is a guy that could help C.J. Stroud. This is the kind of player that I need. So keep an eye on Cooper Kupp as it pertains to him becoming a Houston Texan. Don't know if it's going to happen or not, but there's definitely dots that you can connect with Cooper Kupp and a couple of guys here in the building.
I mean, this shouldn't be a tough sell, should it, Clint? Like, hey, guys, you know who's really good?
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp. Yeah. And then Nick Caserio and DeMeco Ryans should be like, you know what? I heard of Cooper Kupp before. I know who that is. Yeah. Why don't we go see what he's talking about? Let's see what the market looks like. How much would it take to get him interested? What is the market for Cooper Kupp? I don't know. You know, I threw out there like $12, $14 million. Now, I'm probably lowballing Cooper Kupp. It's probably somewhere between the 15 and the 20, right? But if it's, you know, if it's under that, I don't see what the conversation is. If you can get Cooper Kupp for under $15 million a year, and I would really only be interested in 1 year if I'm honest about it at this point in his career, then I say go ahead and do that. Go ahead and have that conversation and try to do that. If it's a little bit more than that, then it might be, you know, a conversation of, hey, do we try to find another way through the draft or whatever? But I'd still talk about it. Like, say, hey, can we move some money around? We didn't go out and get the guard that got $9 million. Do we got a little bit of money that was supposed to go to that? Are we dug in on figuring out the guard situation in the draft? If so, then we got money to pay Cooper Kupp. Now, I wouldn't love that because I want one of these guards, right? But, like, there's got to be a way to, you know, have this Cooper Kupp conversation. Amari Cooper's another name that's out there. But Cooper Kupp just makes too much damn sense.
Yeah, look, to me, it's one of those deals. I would prefer the Texans fill this wide receiver void with a first or second round pick this year. I would rather go that route, to be completely honest with you. But I clearly would prefer a veteran if that is something that's doable. But I think you got too many holes to fill in the offensive line, which I think it's hard to draft. Whether you use first-round picks or not, it's hard to find plug-and-play guards and centers. The Texans have not been great at that. I'd rather the draft take care of the wide receiver position, but I would not be disappointed if Cooper Kupp was out there. Now, another player that has been officially released is Aaron Rodgers has hit the market, and word on the street is that clearly he's going to take a $49 million check and run straight to the bank. That's the dead cap hit for Aaron Rodgers this year for the Jets. But then word on the street is that the Minnesota Vikings are hot and heavy after him, as well as the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the radar. I don't know that what I'm seeing is Minnesota more aggressively than Pittsburgh, but I think either one of those teams would be great landing spots for Aaron Rodgers, and assuming he can conform to their way of thinking and their line of thinking. Both of those teams get better if Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback.
Yeah, I know we talked about this earlier from the Steelers standpoint. Like, if they don't go out and sign Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what they're doing or what they're talking about where else their solution is going to come from. I'm not sure about that. But from the Aaron Rodgers side, I would say this, Clint. I prefer Minnesota, right? Like, I prefer Kevin O'Connell as my play caller and designer. I prefer to have, I don't know, Justin Jefferson at my disposal.
Yeah,
I prefer to have.
Oh, there's no. It's a 14-win team. Hell yeah.
But specifically for the infrastructure, like, I prefer Jordan Addison as my secondary option. Yeah. I know they got DK Metcalf and George Pickens over there in Pittsburgh, but I would prefer what they got going on in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, B. Scott. And also, if you're Minnesota, I mean, you got to think about this. I mean, it would be very easy. I said this coming out. I thought J.J. McCarthy, I know a lot of this had to do with him getting hurt, but I thought J.J. McCarthy was a developmental-type quarterback. They took him, obviously, it's hard to say that about a top-10 pick, but he is a guy that I felt like would benefit from sitting and watching and developing. Now, the injury forced that. When you look at now where Minnesota sits, they're a 14-win team that you can say, not say, it's the truth. The quarterback collapsed in the most critical moment of the game.
It's a fact.
At the end of the season, which would have gave them a bye, and in the playoffs. And, look, I don't know, again, to each their own what you think about Aaron Rodgers, but I feel like if Aaron Rodgers gets your team to a 12, 13, 14-win season where you got a bye potentially on the line, Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be the reason you lose that game. Not because he gets overwhelmed the way that Sam Darnold did. He may make a couple of bad plays that swing the game, but like just completely overwhelmed where pressure kicks your ass for four quarters, and then you turn around in the playoffs and the same thing ultimately happens. Like Aaron Rodgers is a step up when it comes to Sam Darnold, and damn sure if you look at handling pressure with the supporting cast that Sam Darnold had around him, you're right. I think Pittsburgh should be head over heels doing everything they can to sign Aaron Rodgers. You don't pay a receiver $150 million over the next 5 years and then not just kind of deal with the quarterback situation. Like, I think you need to be aggressive there. But if Minnesota, if I'm Aaron and I can go to Minnesota and play for a team that won 14 games last year,
yeah,
absolutely. You got a great play caller. You got weapons around you.
Yeah.
All I got to do is handle pressure late in the season better.
I believe
I'm in on that.
Yeah, and if you can protect them, like keep the 41-year-old quarterback upright. I mean, what did we say about Sam Darnold last year until he did exactly what we said he couldn't do? Hey, man, this is built for you to succeed. Just don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. And then he did at the end.
And he got overwhelmed, and he couldn't protect him damn self. So those are two things that I just don't think Aaron would do. We'll see what Aaron's got left in the tank. Minnesota would be a hell of a watch next year, following the footsteps of old Brett Favre.
Fresh out of the punch of karma.
5 o'clock fire.
A couple other moves around the league. Cowboys fans out there, the Cowboys make a trade for Kenneth Murray, old University of Oklahoma linebacker.
Houston kid, too.
Yeah, Houston kid. Went to Oklahoma, was in Tennessee with the Titans. The Cowboys trade for him. The Cowboys also trade for Kair Elam, which is a corner out of Buffalo. Buffalo cleared a little bit of space, a little cap space there with that trade. But the Cowboys, two new defenders in Dallas. An old defender from Dallas, DeMarcus Lawrence, he ends up in Seattle. Darius Slay goes to the Steelers. Joey Bosa to the Bills on a one-year deal. The Bills are going to be an absolute wrecking shop on the defensive side of the football, B. Scott. Joey Bosa to the Bills along with what they already have.
Yeah.
In Buffalo up front, they're going to be some absolute monsters. And I think one other sign that I think is a little lower level but it's going to be fun to watch is Evan Engram, tight end out of Jacksonville. He got cut, cap space, cap casualty, if you will. He ends up in Denver with Bo Nix and Sean Payton as the play caller. I think that's got some real legs to be a good sign for Denver, another team that's on the verge of doing some big things. That's not all the movement today. Obviously, there's a ton of movement, but that is what I've got on my list as of late of note, at least, here coming down the pike as we move along on this beautiful Wednesday.
I like that Engram to the Engram to the Broncos. That, like, I wouldn't have minded. And I understand we are already, you know, in Houston have already kind of committed to a tight end. Would you tell me Evan Engram was coming to Houston? I would have been fine with that. I would have liked that. Now, I know that wasn't part of the wish list. That wasn't part of the priority. But you kind of just look around the league and you see what teams, especially with young quarterbacks, are tooling up with. That's a nice one. I like that for Denver.
All right, there's one Texan player that doesn't appear to be going anywhere, doesn't appear to be getting cut, doesn't appear to be getting restructured. What should the Texans do with Dalton Schultz? They seem to be moving some guys that don't fit quite what they want on the offensive side of the football. Dalton didn't fit it last year. What should the Texans do with Dalton Schultz? That's next.
Just keep your soft ass out of the conversation.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T. Mill is on the ones and twos. Tyler Milner, y'all, just in case.
Otani, what's up, T-Money?
Otani dime nipples in there.
King Ding-a-ling in there.
Yeah, or him. Yeah, that's right.
I have a lot of nicknames on this show now.
Yeah, we tend to toss them around a bit. look, we in a time when we see Laremy Tunsil getting traded, you see Shaq Mason getting cut, you see a lot of guys that did not fit what D'Amico Ryans ultimately wanted out of his squad last year. You see it all over the defensive side of the football, but on the offensive side of the football, I don't know if you want to call it swarm, but there's just that level of sense of urgency, physicality, awareness. There's just a polar opposite, if you will, to what goes on the defensive side of the football, the mentality on the defensive side of the football, and the mentality on the offensive side of the football. And the question that is a real one, I think. I don't know many people out there, fans included, that are and have been as outwardly critical. Let's be honest. I've been disgusted, to be honest with you, with Dalton Schultz's play. But I think it was bad enough to where most fans acknowledge it and are wondering You know, if Laramie Tunsil's a guy that you can move, then why is Dalton Schultz still a Texan? Why has Dalton Schultz not been moved? Why has Dalton Schultz not been restructured to some degree to create some kind of cap space? One or the other. I don't have an answer, to be completely honest with you. My only answer would be he's too expensive to and not good enough to move, to be honest with you. I think Laramie Tunsil's, it's easy. I mean, he's a good enough player in this league, and there's enough pass heavy football teams that can't protect the quarterback that moving Laramie Tunsil was probably a luxury, to be honest with you. It's probably one of those deals where the Texans looked up and, hell, we're getting four picks back. This is better than I thought it was. When you look at Dalton Schultz, I don't think Dalton Schultz, his play damn sure doesn't say it, but I don't think his reputation or any of his film, even in his good years, don't say, let me go ahead and eat $12 million a year worth of salary for a tight end that plays and puts what he put on film last year, B. Scott. So I think the question is what do the Texans do with Dalton Schultz, whether we're talking this offseason or if you're not able to move him or restructure him, what do you do with him from a play perspective once the season starts?
Yeah, and you're somebody, I give you credit for this, somebody that's kind of been beating on the Dalton Schultz drum for a while now.
Sorry,
so,
man, but it's just real.
Just keep your soft ass out of the conversation.
So I'll keep you out of this part of the conversation because you have done the due diligence on speaking to this. But I'll say this part, the Texans' offensive line was so bad, and the situation up front was so bad, it led to what they've done so far in the offseason and firing the O-line coach, firing the offensive coordinator, getting rid of three of the five starters that started the season off, that it has put in the shadows or to the back burner the fact that the Texans had a roughly $12 million a year tight end who played like at the league minimum. Like the overall, and this is not a knock on the rest of the room, like, you know, Brevin Jordan got hurt, Kay Stover was a rookie who's still relatively new to playing the position, and of course playing the position for the first time in the NFL. But you had a roughly $12 million a year tight end who played about the league minimum probably level. Like, what was the opposite of those other guys we were talking about? Hey, these guys got bonuses.
He was a non-factor.
You know what I mean? These guys, Henry Toitoa and Kalen Bullock, got bonuses for playing above.
Yes.
If you could take money away for somebody playing below the expectation, right, I wonder what the scale would be for Dalton Schultz for not playing to that level. Like, honestly, the tight end group for the Texans, and we don't talk about it as much, again, because the offensive line was so bad, and there was this disappointment that C.J. Stroud had to take a step back because of all of this. But you could go get any random collection of tight ends in the NFL and make a tight end group, and it would not look like, it would be negligibly different from what you got in terms of tight end production. And that's probably the nicest way I could put it, to say that it was a forgettable year last year for the tight end group. And that is not, that to me, that's inexcusable when you invest $12 million a year, $23.5 million guaranteed in a tight end like Dalton Schultz. You absolutely either got to get more out of a guy like that or decide, hey, that wasn't good enough, we need to move on from a guy like that. I don't know what the answer is of what they necessarily see is there or what they feel. I mean, Nick Caley did coach tight ends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's something that they feel like is there, but there's no doubt that it was a huge, massive disappointment to have a tight end that was that expensive and that underwhelming.
Yeah, look, to me, this is a deal where if given the opportunity to move Dalton Schultz and pay part of the contract that you never should have gave him, that, to me, that is a real option that's on the table here. If they are, for some reason, I have a hard time believing that Laramie Tunsil, even as movable as he was, that you can in your mind make sense of moving Laramie Tunsil and not have the same, not really, they have a more bitter taste in your mouth with Dalton Schultz, because at least Laramie Tunsil did his particular job, you know, at an elite level. You know, Dalton Schultz didn't. Look, I think one thing that you can say about this offensive unit is they went through a lot of adversity last year, and I'm a huge fan of adversity. I believe adversity shows me a man's true colors. And the truth of the matter is, we can sit around and talk about Dalton Schultz was put in some bad situations last year, and there is no doubt about it. CJ was put in some bad situations last year. Hell, everybody was, given the communication problems and all that. But how did you fight through it, and how did you go about trying to overcome it, and how did it affect the rest of your game? Like Laramie Tunsil, you say what you want about Laramie Tunsil, but the one thing Laramie Tunsil did was, all the miscommunications and all the crap that went on up front, he's still graded out in all these advanced stats from a pass protection standpoint as high as he always does.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't impact. Like, Dalton Schultz went to a hell in a handbasket immediately, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy that was dropping passes in critical moments of the game, and he's a pass-receiving tight end first. You're talking about a guy that created zero separation even when he got the mismatch that you wanted. Right? And now, was that out of frustration because C.J. Stroud didn't go to him, wasn't as reliant on him as he was the year before? I don't know. And is there a chance for Dalton Schultz to rebound? Yes. But the reality of it is you know now who Dalton Schultz is. If it's not a perfect world for Dalton Schultz, it's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
If he's got a lead up in the run game against a physical defense, it ain't happening. He's turning it down. If he doesn't have perfect position on somebody, whether he's pass protection or run blocking, he's pouting, he's turning it down, and if he can't create separation on top of that, then you got major problems. So the question of what you do, if I'm Nick Caserio, I've been trying to move Dalton Schultz for the last 6 weeks. I'm trying to move Dalton Schultz, and I'll eat part of the contract that I gave him to move on from.
Now, I will say one key difference or distinction between Dalton Schultz and Laremy Tunsil in terms of the frustration. With Tunsil, it was a lot of the tone setting and the leadership style, not feeling like the leadership style was there or that the leadership itself was non-existent. Dalton Schultz, for better or worse, actually does have some of the more traditional and idealistic leadership qualities that you would want from your leaders within your offense. He's just not doing the other thing, producing on the field. And so it brings you back to that. It's like, okay, it's fine if he's an accountability partner for C.J. Stroud, a sounding board, somebody that they feel like will step up and say something when something is wrong, which to my understanding, Dalton Schultz is 100% one of those guys in that locker room. But you can't help but to think, well, what would the Texans' offense have looked like if the $12 million tight end actually played like even a $8 to $10 million tight end.
Arrows pointed up.
Much less the league minimum type of play that he gave you at times. Like, it's a tough disconnect.
Yeah, look, I mean, I look at Laremy Tunsil and Dalton Schultz as two and the same. One of them just had a C on his chest, and one of them was making $21 million. I mean, neither one of them, if either one of those guys are voices in your locker room, you lack leadership. You lack alphas, you lack dogs, you lack a voice in your locker room, which we need to talk about that. And today's not the day because I don't have it mapped out, but we need to talk about that because this is a real problem on the offensive side of the football. I've mentioned it laughing and joking, kind of in tongue in cheek over the last couple of days. But there's not just a need for, again, like we talked about, boy, this interior offensive line, another receiver, a backup running back. And there's not just a need for that, guys. There's a real need for a absolute leader of men. D'Amico can't do it all, man.
Hey,
D'Amico can't do it all.
Hard to watch them last year and argue with you. Just to be honest, like, it's hard to watch them last year and feel like what you're saying is out of bounds or off base.
It wouldn't shock me one bit if they found a trade partner for Dalton Schultz, but the Texans would have to eat half the contract. Kind of like, not on the same level, but kind of like they had with Clowney. Remember Jadeveon Clowney? Yeah. They ate $7 million or whatever when they traded him to Seattle.
Yeah.
Or I think they cut him in.
They traded him to Seattle.
Whatever they did. Yeah,
they franchise tagged him and then traded him to Seattle, is the way I remember.
I think it was $7 million. Like something similar to that. Obviously a lesser player. This isn't Clowney we're talking about. But I don't think you're going to get somebody to eat $12 million worth of Dalton Schultz film if it's last year's film. So that absolutely cannot be the case.
I mean, the only glass half full look at it, Clint, is maybe the change in the offense, the change of the vibe around, the changes that they make on the offensive line, the change that they made with the offensive coordinator, maybe that brings something out of Dalton Schultz. I'm not going to pretend to be like optimistic about that. Yeah. I think that's a possibility, but I'm not going to pretend to like be hanging my hat on it.
Well, that's just one place for big time improvement is at that tight end position. I don't know if it's in house. I don't know if it's not. But that, there's room for that offense to get significantly better by that position improving the overall production from the group as a whole, and damn sure from Dalton Schultz. All right, the Rockets, they got a game tonight versus the Suns, and the starting lineup is out, and they've got one man back that is a big difference maker if he can stay healthy, and we'll put a bow on this Wednesday, the first day of the NFL's new league year. We'll put a bow on the Houston Texans, where they're at, what's available, what they need. We'll get you all caught up. We got T-Mills, best bets right around the corner as well. And we'll catch you up on all of that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, thank you, Tyler.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Milner. Tyler Milner, you are the greatest producer in the world.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Turn it up one time, T. We gotta go out on the right note, baby. I hope everybody out there had a hell of a day at work. I hope you're heading home to your family. Get your mind right, baby. Walk in the house with a smile on your face, man. Greet your kids with a smile, a hello, and I love you.
Thanks, y'all.
Kiss your wife on the forehead, on the mouth, on the neck. If you got the kids in the house, let's keep it PG, baby. But tell them
ask
you love
her
them.
Where she likes the pressure.
I know
where she likes it rough.
Yeah. Put some kids to bed if you got to.
That's right. Put them to bed early tonight and reach over and rub on your lady, man. Come on. Hey, if your lady's out there, won't you do what I just said to your man? I'm sure he'll greatly appreciate it. If not, might be time to make a change. But, hey, look here. Enjoy your damn evening, baby, because it's a hump day. It's one of them old wind-down Wednesdays. You know what I mean? Have you a day. Thank you for listening to Sports Radio 610. If you're out there, you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate you. If you're listening on the AM dial, the old school way, the OG way, we damn sure appreciate you. That 100.3 HD2, we appreciate you there as well. If you're listening on that Odyssey app, I want to tip my cap. If you hadn't downloaded the Odyssey app, please do so. AUDACY, the Odyssey app. You can take our show anywhere that you go, and you can use a rewind feature to catch any segments that you missed. And you got access to all the podcasts. Tyler, Figgy, Ben, all the guys in the building, they podcast every single segment, so you don't miss anything. You can go back and listen to the whole show, or you can go back and listen to them individually on the Audacy app. AUDACY. It's where it's all going down. Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. We greatly appreciate you, and it ain't stopping today, baby. Tomorrow, we got one of more tickety Thursdays. We're giving Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo tickets away tomorrow. It's a Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo ticket Thursday, 3 o'clock, Brooks and Dunn, baby. 3 o'clock, Brooks and Dunn. Is it a four-pack tee? Is it four packs
yes,
again?
Yes, that's right. All we're going to give these.
We're out of the old two-pack. We're out of the old pair a ticket business. We're giving away four packs over here. 3 o'clock, it's Brooks and Dunn. 5 o'clock, it is Cody Jinks. Make sure you're plugged in to Sports Radio 610. Also, we got Tyler's Best Bets coming up. He's back on that winning side, y'all. Won 4 or 5 last night. So you're going to get a good, excited, nice and relaxed wager tonight. I tell you, he's got that smirk on his face. I bet he's got some good ones lined up for y'all. As I said, Ron Hughley is out. Hope him and his family's having a great time in Disney World. Brandon Scott is in. B. Scott, them Rockets at home tonight versus the Suns at 7. They beat up on the Magic a couple of nights ago. That's one game. You get the Suns tonight. And then, as you said, there's about a 6-game stretch before you catch Denver next Sunday, where the Rockets should make a serious run over the next 5-6 games on the schedule. And we got even better news coming up. Not only does the schedule soften up at a time, when you're – I mean, look, the Rockets are within 2 games of the 2 seed right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all close.
All right there. It's all bunched up. I mean,
a thin line between the 2 seed and the play-in.
That's right. That's right. So the Rockets, this stretch of schedule here that leaves a lot to be desired, comes at the right time for the Rockets if they want to fend off the Golden State Warriors and maybe make a move on some of these teams that are ahead of them in the West. They can do so here. And as I said, there is a little good news coming out. Fred VanVleet is back. He's in the starting lineup tonight. Jabari Smith goes to the bench. Tari Eason starts alongside Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, and Alpi Oshingun. I don't know what he's going to do tonight. Is he going to stand around the 3-point line, or are we
going to show up on Best Bets? We'll see.
Ooh, that's a big shout out to Danielle Lerner, by the way, for that starting lineup information right there. But Fred VanVleet back on the floor tonight. B. Scott, I know that the schedule lightens up a little bit, but if we can get Fred VanVleet healthy on the floor and contributing on a nightly basis, that'd be a big step in the right direction as well.
Yeah, man, Fred VanVleet, when you just look at the stat line, when you look at the numbers, I mean, just averaging 14.5, you know, nearly 6 assists a game, 4 rebounds a game. It's not a world-beating stat line, but you got to watch the games and then watch the games without him to fully understand the importance. It's just the simple fact that they don't have anybody else that's really like that can help them get into their offense. And, man, since February 1st, I was hitting on this a little bit yesterday, but I feel like it bears repeating. It's one of the worst offenses, and you can kind of directly tie this to Fred VanVleet. He's missed 18 games, I believe, over the season. And that was that 11-game stretch specifically, you know, about a month ago that he missed. And he comes back and rolls his ankle or steps on the foot of an official in a real kind of freak accident and misses some more time. But, man, since February 1st, this team is bottom 4 in effective field goal percentage. They are bottom 7, it looks like, in 3-point percentage.
Yeah, so I got in the face, Craig.
Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, bottom 6 in 3-point percentage over the last month and change since February 1st. And then from 2, this is the wild part about it. They are the worst team in basketball from 2 since February 1st, other than the Charlotte Hornets, who I almost don't even count because they should be relegated. Like, you shouldn't be in no conversations with what the Charlotte Hornets got going on.
Which is not good enough.
So outside of the Hornets, it's the worst team in basketball since February 1st from 2. And I gave you all the numbers. Effective field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, 2. Field goal percentage from 2. All of it bad. I think with Fred VanVleet, it helps you get a better quality shot. Now, I will shout out, I think this is a little bit of the issue that you had with them with Shingun, you know, floating around the 3-point line, not playing like a big man. They've gone to this double big lineup, and it looks a little bit different. The style of play is a little bit different from what it normally looks like, but it's been kind of effective. They went to it against Indiana. They went to it in this last game against the Magic, and it's been pretty good. They're good defensively. Jalen Green has improved a little bit as a playmaker, still not ideal. But, hey, man, like the double big lineup is something that feels like it's here to stay, even with Fred VanVleet out there. But definitely with Fred VanVleet, it should be a better and smoother operation.
Yeah, look, I've noticed that two big set, and it's I do like it. I like Steven Adams being out there, getting him involved, getting him more active, freeing up Şengün a little bit. I just don't like the stagnant. I don't like the Jabari Smith, and I know he's knocked down some, but I just don't like all the stagnant four guys around the damn 3-point line and just standing there waiting on the basketball. I just don't like the stagnant stuff. So I hope we get a look, because it changes night in, night out. I mean, Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson and Apri Şengün. I mean, there's nights when those guys are cutting and moving and attacking the goal and scoring points in the paint and getting dunks and getting lobs, and then that stuff is part of the game. Then all of a sudden it goes to this stagnant, just stand around and shoot open threes. I don't know what we're going to get tonight. Again, the defensive floor, the defensive end of the floor, you always going to get something you like. And with Fred VanVleet, back to your point, B. Scott, hopefully we get some better looks. Let's switch over real quick to the Texans and just update everybody. There were no significant moves made by the Texans. The most significant two moves in over the last couple of days, Laremy Tunsil was traded for four picks. He was traded to the Commanders, and that left another void on the offensive line. The Texans bring in Laken Tomlinson.
Is it?
And he's a guard that I think I would rather be a guy that maybe be competing for a spot instead of plug and play. But that's really the moves on the offensive side of the football. Christian Kirk was traded for a little earlier. On the defensive side of the football, the Kenyon Green trade to Philly for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, another DB. I mean, just solidified the secondary for the Texans. Again, pretty quiet today. I think the biggest news today was Kevin Zeitler, one of the better guards that was left on the market out of Detroit, has been signed by the Tennessee Titans, a 1-year, $9 million deal. So pretty quiet on the Texans front. A couple of players jump off the board that I thought would be a good fit in Houston. I got to believe that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are making calls, making moves as we speak. Maybe a trade somewhere. This interior offensive line has to be fixed, and it's not going to be fixed just through the draft. So just a little update of where the Texans are right now. Again, a whole lot of nothing, and hopefully that changes over the next couple of days, B.
Yeah, and I think the big news, I would agree, was the Kevin Zeitler signing within the division, somebody that should have been on your wish list. If they weren't, they should have been, and then goes to a division foe for an affordable price. I would say the other big thing, though, is to put a pin in, and this is like something we knew and expected to happen, but it was official today because of the calendar. Keep an eye on the Cooper Kupp thing.
Yeah.
You know, put a pin in that.
Yes.
File it for later. Maybe have on your notifications on the Odyssey app and all your favorite insiders to see what might happen, because as you have laid out, and I agree with this, and I think it's just a fact of the matter, it makes too much damn sense. The fit, the relationship, the need that the Texans have, the fact that the opportunity cost is minimal in terms of not having to give up any kind of draft capital. And honestly, Cooper Kupp just should not be as expensive as he once was. Now, probably still, you know, expensive and possibly too expensive for your blood, more expensive than what you might like or be comfortable with. But you need to be having the conversation, and you need to be at least going down that road.
All right, T-Mills, best bets, man. What you got in there, big dog?
Yes, sir. We rebounded like we needed to last night, right? I gave you six last night around the NBA. One of those six ended up being a push because Donovan Mitchell did not see any game action. So we went 4-for-5 last night, now 5-for-10 on the week. Let's have a successful hump day, turn this thing into a heater. Doing six more NBA best bets for you. Listed very quickly, as always. If you need them, if I say them too fast, go to my Twitter at TMILRealDeal, because they're posted there as well. First, I got an under. Dallas, Mavericks, Spurs, under 236. That's my first one tonight. That might be my favorite one. Next, I got the 76ers tonight with points plus 5 at the Toronto Raptors. Then I got the Miami Heat minus 2.5 as they host the LA Clippers. And then three player props for you once again. First, I have a Rocket. I have a hometown fill-in. I tried to take B. Scott's advice he gave us yesterday. I tried to implement that a little bit here, and I do like this bet a lot. Alpe over 5.5 assists tonight, staying away from those points. But Shangoon over 5.5 assists, two more player props, LaMelo Ball under 8.5 assists for him. And then the turd known as James Harden, I'm on under 25.5 points for James Harden tonight. And the Clippers, and speaking of turds like James Harden, that'll be tomorrow, folks, right around 3:45 p.m. right here on The Drive. But anyway, those are your six best bets. What do y'all like? What do you not?
I like that assist bet. I like that assist bet. I might even ride that one with you.
I'll ride it with you. You're going to ride it? I'll ride it.
Let's go.
Okay, I got you. I need
a winner, Tyler. The last two notifications I got from you on the Cash App were, hey, I need some money. I need to start coming my way a little bit every now and then.
I'm trying, man. I like
that Shingun. Pass the ball right now. Okay, Shingun, get your ass back out by the three-point line and just pass the ball if you don't mind.
Hey, look, and 100 down for me, too. I ain't scared. Let's go.
Okay, y'all both got a Benji. Let's ride. Yeah.
No bitches around here.
Let's get it. We need six assists out of Alpe tonight, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Texans All Access is live from 6 to 7 p.m. with Mark Vandermeer and Johnny Harris. They've been rocking and rolling. I listen to them on the way home as soon as I leave here. They're always big time. Area 45 live, 7 to 11 p.m. with my man Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Osantiago. What a lineup, baby. What a day. Stay tuned. Sports Radio 610, 6A to 11P. We always got you taken care of, Houston. Stay plugged in to Houston's sports leader. Until tomorrow, we love you, baby.
Just one look at you and I know it's gonna be.
Get out, get some sun, get some of that vitamin D in your life, man. I mean, it's a great little party deal. You don't have to be indoors behind the glass where only a couple of guys with headbands on can watch you.
Soak it all in.
So, yeah, so I understand we'd fall down the list a bit, but I do think that we should get something on the schedule right around the corner. But back to the original point, Cal, pickleball, man. I mean, I bet Cal would be a kick-ass pickleballer, too. I think he would. No walls to judge the bounces off of. Oh, the ball moves a little slower. Yeah, yo, pinky ring.
I ain't lying to you. I thought April Fools.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.